All right. It is 7:01. Adequate notice and electronic notice of this meeting were provided in accordance with the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act and regulations governing remote meetings promulgated by the Division of Local Government Services. A copy of the agenda for this meeting, including access instructions, was sent to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, the Star Ledger, the Courier News, and I think that's it, right? Carla, rather. And was made available to the public for download on the township's website prior to the meeting. There we go. Thank you.
Do we have Carla on?
It was Vita.
No, we
Carla is on.
I can't get in on my computer for some reason. I'm in on the phone, but not on my computer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Okay. We're open.
You ready for
Madam Clerk? Could I have a roll call then?
Sure. Councilman Strauss? Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Here.
Councilwoman Slitnick?
Oh, Amy?
Sorry, I was unmuted. Here.
Council President Malloy?
Here.
And Mayor Hogan?
Here. I guess we have a quorum and we can proceed.
Oh, we have a quorum. Sorry.
Now, Brian, do you have any changes in the agenda up front?
Let's dispatch with the Board of Health, and then we'll jump into that.
Let's adjourn as the council and convene as the Board of Health. And I did see Kurt here somewhere. There he is. And you have the notes, and please proceed with telling us what you need from us.
Okay, very good. So for the record, I am Kurt Hoffman from Kurt Hoffman Engineering here this evening for Block 87, Lot 26. This is the Darcy Zahn site on Kasinic Road. This house is not for sale. They're happy where they live. They want to be there forever. They're just experiencing septic issues. From my views, I think they've had septic issues for some time. Hired me to do soil logs testing and a replacement system for everything going on their site. So existing there today is a three-bedroom dwelling, and there are two two-bedroom apartment units. This is all legally existing today. There's no change of use. There's no expansion here. We're just fixing what exists today. We performed soil log one, soil log two with passing results, designed as a pressure dose septic system, which is a reduced size disposal bed because of the limited area on the site here. What we're here for this evening is due to the limited space on the site. So the state septic code typically requires a 3-to-1 slope with a mounted system down to grade. It does have in the revision of the state septic code under 7.9A10.5E5, you can alternatively design with a retaining wall as used to retain the septic system in a mounted situation. Unfortunately, we don't meet one requirement of that retaining wall, and that is the distance to the property boundary. The state statute states that if you use a wall, the wall has to be the height of the wall away from the property boundary. So in our particular case, the wall is 3 feet high. We would have to be 3 feet from the property boundary. We are not, as you can see on the septic design before you, we're literally the face of the wall is going to be right at the line. So that's what we're asking for a waiver for this evening from the board. We meet all of their state and Clinton Township requirements as far as the septic system designed it.
And Bob Baccarella certainly agrees with that. It's quite a system, I must say, with all the tanks and filters and everything else.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. Any comments from anyone on council in terms of concerns?
Can I just maybe sweeten the deal here a little bit? Lot 21, Stephen Bentonelli, that's the lot that we're adjacent to. That section of property is technically wetlands. I don't know if you saw on the plan, GP24 is going to be applied for as well. So I just wanted to put it on the record also that we're not impacting a neighbor, that their yard or their house or their drive, there's nothing right there adjacent to us. So I just want to get that out on the record as well.
That was actually relates to the question I was going to ask is, do you foresee any problem obtaining that waiver?
The GP24?
Yeah.
No, I hate to say it. I'm not picking on the DEP, but that's a rubber stamp deal.
Okay.
All right. That was the only complication I would have foreseen. So,
yep.
Is there any other comment or discussion on the part of council?
Not for me.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Well, in that case, I will make a motion with the conditions stipulated in the letter from the county and the condition that they get that waiver from the state.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Millay?
Yes.
Mayor Hagan?
Yes. All right, Mr. Hoffman, well, have a good evening. Thank you for your testimony.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Okay.
All right, let's adjourn as the Board of Health and reconvene as the council. Next item up is the approval of two meeting minutes, the regular session meeting minutes of October 14. Any comments, edits, concerns?
I will be abstaining from the October 14.
I already made mine, so if nobody else has comments, I'll move the minutes for the 14th.
I'll second that.
Councilman Strauss? Councilman Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick? Council President Lloyd?
Yes.
And Mayor Hagan?
Yes. Thank you. And the next item, of course, is the regular session meeting minutes 2 weeks later on October 28th. I don't have any comments. I've looked at them. Anyone else?
I have none.
All right.
I'll move.
Let me make the motion this time.
I'll second.
Thank you, Amy.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlett?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. Now we're up to consent. There's 10 items on there. I don't think I have to read them by title. As most people know, these are routine actions taken on the part of council, and for the most part, they're self-explanatory to council members. If they're are any concerns or any discussion items on these, please just bring them up and we can discharge them one time, one item at a time.
I have no concerns. I'll move the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Second.
I'll second.
Your pick, Carla.
Amy got it.
Please pick me.
Yay.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you again. Now, this is the part of the meeting I never get right since we've been online.
Well,
so
I'm going to insert myself, Mayor, and I have a we have John Matson has joined us this evening because John has decided that at the end of this year, he does not seek reappointment to the Board of Adjustment. And in recognition of his service to the board and to the township over a long period of time, I'd like to move a resolution, and I'll read it here, a resolution honoring John Matson for his hard work and dedication to the township of Clinton. Whereas, as of December 31st, 2020, John Matson will have completed his 29th year on the Zoning Board of Adjustment of Clinton Township, having served with both honor and distinction. And whereas, during his time on the Zoning Board of Adjustment, Mr. Mattson has served as both the chairman and vice chairman, providing to the board both solid leadership and a wealth of knowledge and history of township planning and zoning requirements. And whereas, prior to beginning his service on the Zoning Board of Adjustment in 1992, Mr. Mattson was appointed to the Planning Board of Clinton Township in 1976. And whereas, during his tenure on the Planning Board, Mr. Mattson participated in the creation and adoption of the township's first master plan and served in the roles of both chairman and vice chairman. And whereas, Mr. Mattson further served as a councilman of Clinton Township, during which time he not only continued to serve on the Planning Board, but also served as the acting mayor for a brief period. And whereas, Mr. Mattson has always graciously offered his insight and knowledge and guidance to countless township officials, professionals, and employees over the years for the betterment of the township. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, that John Mattson is officially recognized and honored for his dedication and his passion and service to the township over the past 45 years, while working to make our community a better place to live for our families, friends, and future residents. And be it further resolved that we wish John success and the best of health in his future endeavors.
Congratulations, John. Do you have anything to say?
Can't give me congratulations until it's voted on.
Can I have a second?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? They're not.
Now, Mr. Mattson, you'll be happy to know that it was edited by a number of people, including Mr. McCaffrey, but also Mr. Drill, and it didn't exceed one page.
I hope he wasn't billing you for his time.
But in all seriousness, I know, and probably more so others even who are on the call, and well, I think we can open it up to a few members of the public who may wish to say a few things, but you've certainly served as a role model for civic engagement to me and a wealth of knowledge regarding just about everything in Clinton Township over the years. So we really do thank you, and we know you'll be sorely missed, but always available, I hope.
Well, I certainly appreciate the sentiment, and it's been an interesting 45 years, let me tell you. Sometimes more interesting than I really cared for.
Hey, John, this is Tom. I just, you know, I wanted to say it's a pleasure. I've only been here 19 years in this position, so I'm not even halfway to where you are. And I think we're hoping that when the pandemic abates, we'll be able to do something a little more formal and in person. So perhaps late spring, early summer will be the right time for us to do this the right way.
Well, that sounds like a plan, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, John, it's Kevin Samea. My first board that I was on was the zoning board, and you were on, and I always am appreciative of your knowledge and your commitment to the township, so I thank you for that. And I look forward to getting together when we can.
And John, this is Denise Pilardo. Although I've only been working with the boards for a little over 5 years, it has been a pleasure and an honor working with you. Again, as everyone else has said, you're a wealth of knowledge, and your service and commitment of your time and knowledge to the township is insurmountable. So we'll definitely miss having you there on a regular basis and wish you well.
Thank you very much, Denise.
You're welcome.
John, we have your last meeting will be on Monday, this coming Monday, the 14th, and we do have a case, so we'll have a public hearing. So this will be your big opportunity to go out with a bang.
Okay.
You know, I'd just say a couple of quick words. John, as you probably know, John is a PhD chemical engineer, a real engineer. Puts my little degree on a train and, in the back box. John helped introduce yours truly to that rascal Ryman Herr, a fellow alumni of that distinguished university. And, that friendship led to finishing off a preservation grant that had been provided to Ryman, and which was a major help to our township. But more than anything else, every encounter I've had with John, thought process was clear, logical. His help was, you never had to pry it out of him. It was always given freely and certainly much appreciated on my end, John. So thank you for everything you've done for the township, but also this rookie.
Thank you, John.
Anyone else?
Thank you for your service, John. Congratulations.
Just a small thing, John. I take a shortcut by your house. The restoration you did is magnificent. It's a beautiful, beautiful home. It really is. I don't know who did it particularly, but it just looks wonderful.
That's the second house in the county that was on the National Register of Historic Places.
Ah. Well, to my relatively unschooled eye, it's a restoration that clearly befits that distinguished, entry on the registry. So it's the highlight of going down Sand Hill Road on the way to my little shortcut out to Route 22. All right, it's pretty quiet. Should we progress to reports? Who would like to go first?
I'll continue the tradition of Mark Strauss. Very quiet. Next Clinton Township Board of Education meetings, of course, still being held virtually, as I've reported in the past. Next one is this Monday, December 14th, and their voting meeting is the following Monday, the 21st, before they go into holiday recess. We had our last Environmental Commission meeting this past Thursday, which I know past Mayor Sime was also on, and I just can't say enough about all the work and dedication that the folks on this commission have put into the Windy Acres project, also with crossover support from Open Space and, of course, Councilwoman Switlick. It's a really great bunch of folks. I've enjoyed my 2 years being a liaison to them, and I'm always genuinely surprised and amazed on how much education I've learned and gotten for it and how much energy they put into this whenever they get their hands wrapped around the project. So, they thanked each other for their dedication and work, and I just like to express that same for everything they've done to especially the Windy Acres site. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mike. Amy, are you next?
I'll go next. I have nothing to report.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
I'm going to spare all you guys and not take an hour of my report. How's that? A Christmas present to you. North Voorhees Board of Ed met on November 17th. They conducted their audit presentation as well as their HIV checklist. They have created a dashboard on their webpage for COVID updates, I think in lieu of all the emails they were sending out to parents. They are still, at least at time at the meeting in November, they were still in the moderate risk category. But we'll need to go 100% virtual if it raises to the high risk. And there's three categories for consideration. There's number of cases, which right now is high, number of COVID-like symptoms, which is moderate, and the number of positive rate resting is moderate. So all of them have to be high for them to go 100% virtual. So I haven't heard anything different. I did speak to Brian today, and he did say that there's still people going to school, so I guess they're not at high at this point. Open space, we met with Cameron a couple weeks ago from Raritan Headwaters. We went over to Beaverbrook to discover discuss water studies over there, as well as consideration of the dam removal. We will also be meeting next week with other representatives from Raritan Headwaters next week for another review. Windy Acres, the fence has been installed on the bridge, as well as a signage with open space rules. Prospect East, we met with Phil Prospect about the driveway placement. He actually was nice enough to assist us with some trail cutting, utilizing his farm equipment, which is, we're going to start working on that project in January. And I have an open space meeting tomorrow, so I'll find out more about the hunting report, and I can report that to you in January as far as how many kills they have. I think it was 13 last open space meeting. So that was a month ago. There was 13 on our open space properties. And that's it.
All right. Thank you. I guess it's my turn. All right. Well, we've had some good news today on two fronts. I'm sure at least a couple of people on over 10 Concours. House that was a wreck of a house that was purchased by a developer that never developed it. And today we received word that as we go through the legal processes, that individual has not been successful. I don't know if he attempted, repossessing the property basically. And the court has ruled in our favor, so that judgment will be recorded shortly, and then the process from here on out would appear to me to be very certain. I'm not sure of the time length because of all the various steps involved before we get to auction, sale, rebuild, and occupancy, but there is no longer the threat or the danger, in my words, of this individual getting back in and us going through the same travail again. So it's a real stepping off point. Trishka, we thanked your colleague for doing all this work, and we very much appreciate the result.
We're very pleased with the result as well, Mayor.
Yeah, no, it's really, we've never, as far as I can tell, as far as back as I've looked, we've never done this as a town. So I think it's a first for us. Hopefully in the future, the new mayors don't have to go through this, but I'm optimistic now that it'll get cleaned up and be more of an asset than a detriment to the neighborhood. The other good news is, and it's not up on the NJHFMA website yet, but on the third try, our Marukian project has been awarded the 9% tax credit financing. This award is worth about $6.4 million. We would have had the bond for somewhere in that range. I feel the same way. And just as a remark, we were similarly successful for the Beaver Avenue project. That was worth about $6.1 million. So if you put it in perspective, these two wins, highly competitive wins, are worth about, what, $12.5 million. The total town debt is about between, is it 18 and 19, Brian? Yeah. So
it's about 19 right now.
There you go. And so it's both of these are very significant. And the risk involved in the plan that we put together is now very, very much reduced, the financial risk to the township. So I want to thank council for having the faith in, I guess I could be the author of the plan to some degree, both myself and John Drill, and of course the other wise men involved, Kevin and Brian, were part and parcel to, kind of agreeing to pony up to this kind of risk. But I'm very glad council was with us. The way that we've conducted ourselves enabled us to get a third try and successful try on this because we have cooperated well. We've lived up to our obligations with Fair Share Housing and to Judge Miller, who, by the way, is the assignment judge for our vicinage, and he made some comments on the matter that will be coming next. So it's really, I can sleep better at night now, and I can end my tenure as mayor, like with a clean conscience. The other part of this whole thing is part of the bargain, two pieces. Part of the bargain in terms of timing, we had said that we would be under construction by July 1st. At the time, we meant that we would anticipate planning board final approval by July 1st. Our developer, she's next to Superwoman, Lara, believes that she can be in front of the planning board for final approval in February and under construction potentially in August once the financing is fully arranged. So it's going to be an accelerated time frame. We have work to do. We first need to adopt the Highlands Land Use Ordinance. Then we need to invoke the Highlands Land Use Cluster provision, which has never been invoked in the Highlands. And that will allow us to develop the way we want to develop on Marukia. The other comment I would make on this is we're also promised to develop a very nice handicapped accessible playground on this parcel adjacent to or nearly adjacent to the affordable development. And that has to be planned out with the 5K trail and all that. So I'll be getting together with Tom Sylvia tomorrow to talk about Jake's Law, look at some examples of successful playgrounds that have been financed different ways, and thanking the county for having the link stop four times a day to Dirt Field, which enabled us to get this grant. I sort of said, you know, we may be after you again for a partnership on this playground. This particular type of playground enjoys accelerated or high urgency grants from Green Acres. And so it's primarily aimed at a county doing this, but I'm thinking perhaps we can get ourselves into a partnership with the county and reduce the cost out of our pocket for this playground. So I think Tom and certainly Brian are going to get going on this in the near future, given the schedule for, you know, the potential schedule for construction. So really a good day for us. And that's all I have, really.
Well, my report won't be nearly as good news as yours. but I'll touch briefly. The Historic Commission met last week. A lot of looking forward. Obviously, it's a little cold out and they can't get together, but they have plans to continue to try to improve the house at Windy Acres, the Gitlow House. And they're also pending some assistance from our DPW, going to try to clean up the old spring house that's alongside Valley Crest by the municipal building, or the police station, I should say. So they're looking at that. And then the Sewer Authority met last Thursday. They discussed the capacity request they received from Clinton Fuel, which is adjacent to the TD Bank. Their septic failed, I guess, and they need to replace it. And they're hoping to be able to tie in. And it's, for them, a simple matter of obtaining the capacity to do it, because it sounds like it should be easily done there, because I think TD Bank's on it. They also had a discussion on doing some force main replacement. I guess there's some cast iron force mains that are nearing the end of their life. And they're also doing some TVing and jetting of lines along Beaver Ave. They've notified some of the homeowners and residents down there in Annandale just to let them know that they may be needing access to their properties or there may be some activity in their general vicinity. I think there were about 14 homes that may be needing to be notified in total. And they've gotten most of them already, I believe. The only other thing is a fairly recent development, and I see Ms. Nolan's on, and we can talk about it a little bit further, probably in public comment. Received quite a bit of feedback on the intersection of Blossom Hill and 22. I did this evening alert the police department and the officer in charge, Lieutenant DeRosa, to see if he couldn't send somebody over there. I've already got a preliminary report. They put some cones out. It does seem a little chaotic, to say the least. and we'll be getting a full detailed report from the police department. I don't know about tomorrow, but maybe in the next couple of days that we can use to have some further conversations with the DOT.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Who would be up next? I don't want to pick on Vita. She's a little new. Do you have any highlights or comments, Vita?
Sure that you can hear me here on my phone. Yeah, I've just, again, I've only been around for a few weeks. I'm looking forward to getting everyone a little bit better. And I've been spending some time setting some short-term and long-term goals based on what I've heard with meeting with in small groups. Preparing to start the process for the 2021 budget and working with Trishka and Carla on, you may see a little bit different format for the agenda in the new year. And that's about it. And the only other, I did have the chief, I'm sorry, the officer in charge has provided me with his report. He is not, was not able to attend the meeting tonight, so I don't know if there's any part of that that you want me to highlight. He did circulate a written report. And then also, Brian, I didn't know if you wanted to mention as liaison that they had received a letter from a resident who really thanked the police department. I don't know if you have that letter with you. I do have it.
You have to go read it because I'll have to pull it up. I forgot Tom was.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Several weeks ago, I called the police about a trespassing problem on my property, including the fear of my personal safety. The following officer responded and conducted an investigation, Sergeant Andrew McCluskey. It was determined that the Clinton Police Department would make unannounced drive-throughs on all shifts for a period of time and to remind me if I like if I felt like my safety was compromised at any time, I should call right away. The following officers were also involved in this experience: Theodore J. White and William. I'm gonna kill this name here. Musacchio. Musacchio. They were all outstanding, professional, polite, understanding, and reassuring. And I would like to commend them and ask that a note of recognition be entered into their personnel files. They were all faithful and fostered me a feeling of safety. Thank you, Clinton Police Department. Please extend me the courtesy of recognizing them. And I guess I'm going to give the name. I just don't want to put the area where she lives or whatever in jeopardy. And you tell me what the protocol is here.
I would say you don't probably need to read the name. Yeah. I think that's sufficient.
Okay. And like I said, I do have his report that they had total arrests. 24. There was some information about the detectives, like 15 cases, 8 are considered still active. I don't know if he usually reads the whole report. Brian, again, I would ask for some guidance or Mayor Higgins.
No, he wouldn't usually read it. He wouldn't usually read it. He'd distribute it to all of us and advise us if we had any questions or comments, because it tends to be a lot of numbers and yeah.
Yeah,
it is. Yep. And that's about it. Just looking forward to being part of the team on Clinton Township. That's it.
We are certainly glad to have you.
Very much so. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think that's it with reports, and we can move on to resolutions. The first and only resolution is one authorizing a shared services agreement for a shared municipal court between the Township of Clinton and the Township of Lebanon. Brian, do you want to talk about this? Do you want me to? Get really more intimately involved.
No, you go ahead. You are involved with the mayor of Lebanon. It's fine.
Okay, good. This is in addition to our court. The Lebanon Township folks previously were in a court with Tewksbury. They will end that association on January 1, and Tewksbury then will be a solo court instead of a joint court or a shared court, as the case may be. So we are, I think, getting close to our capacity in terms of people, facilities, and everything else. So Hampton joined us earlier this year, and these folks joined us, will join us come January 1. I think part of the reason was the court's easily accessible by Route 78, Route 31, Route 22. We're well located. The facility's good. Our judge and our administrators, our public defender, our prosecutor are all very competent, and they crank out the cases. So we are very glad to have them. It was a little nip and tuck because our people do have a very high caseload compared to many other shared courts in the dissident. So Brian did a real nice job looking at the finances to the township. It's kind of a break even for us, like much of this stuff in the courts. But for me, it's a good thing.
It essentially allows us to promote a person from part time to full time, which will help the court staffing level in general, so that they can maintain their workload, which is made more difficult being virtual, I think, too.
Yeah. So that's where we are. The good folks in the I always forget the three-letter abbreviation for the AOC, the administrative part of the courts, have been through all the agreement. This would allow us to sign and execute. Lebanon Township has already signed and executed their end. So we will swap documents with original signatures shortly if council approves this. Any comments or discussion on the part of the council or the public?
It sounds like a good move.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. I'll make the motion in that case, as long as I've got the microphone open.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Tom.
Councilman Strauss? Mark?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes. Okay. Carla, I'm going to be in the office tomorrow helping out, so I'll be happy to, you know, get the blue ink pen out, and we can make sure that, you know, we get this all done timely for the good folks in Lebanon Township.
Okay. No problem.
All right. All right. Next up is the adoption of several ordinances. I'll read it by the first one by title. It's ordinance number 1143-2020, appropriating $380,000 from the capital improvement funds for the construction of tennis and basketball courts and the acquisition of vehicles and equipment in and by the Township of Clinton in the County of Hunter, New Jersey. And we had discussed this previously. This is I wouldn't call it an unusual ordinance, but it's we're not bonding, we're not borrowing. The mayor-elect has been very, I'm searching for the right word, assiduous in accumulating our surpluses and really managing our finances. So now we're able to begin to fund these kinds of things, necessities and amenities, out of our cash account, so to speak. And that's what this is all about. So are there comments from council before I open the public hearing?
The only other comment I'd make is it doesn't obligate us to move forward with any of these purchases or projects. It sets the table for us to do a resolution next year to do that if we decide it's approved.
Mark, did I hear you or Tom?
I did not have any comments.
Thank you. All right. So let me open the public hearing and ask the public if they have any comments on this particular ordinance. Really quiet.
I'm going to unmute everybody because we don't have too many folks on. So, anyone who wishes to speak?
All right. Well, let me close the public hearing on this. And could I have a motion, please?
So moved, Mark.
I'll make the motion. I'll second it then.
Okay.
Councilman Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetlick.
Yes.
Council President Malloy.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes.
John, Mr. Burke, I just asked if you could mute your line until you're ready to speak. We're getting some feedback, and I suspect it may be coming from you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Next up is Ordinance 1144-2020, an ordinance authorizing an emergency appropriation via NJS 40A:4-53 for COVID-19 revenue deficits. This is an action taken to borrow money over a five-year period if we need it to get over any difficulties that we have incurred this year, one-time shots this year that we can then amortize over several. And Brian, you're watching the books, you and Lori. And
hopefully we don't need to take advantage of this. The details are becoming a little clearer as far as when we introduced this. It was not clear to us exactly, nor actually the state, because they kind of slapped it together, what the process would be and how this would all work. But the idea here is for us to be eligible to do something, should we really find it at the end of the year when we close out the books, our revenues, it's not going to be our expenses, but our revenues were significantly short of what we had budgeted because of COVID, then we can take these borrowing measures if we need to. My anticipation, my hope is that we don't have to, but to have the safety net, we need to do this now before the end of the year.
All right. If that's clear, any comments, questions on the part of council?
Nothing here.
I do not.
All righty. Let me open the public hearing. Are there any members of the public that have any questions or concerns
about this particular thing or just in general, anything?
Yeah, this particular ordinance. All right. It's quiet, so let me close it and ask for a motion to approve it.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetlick. Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes, and thank you. Next and last ordinance up for approval or adoption is 1145-2020, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton and Conerton County, New Jersey, prohibiting short-term vacation rentals and amending Part 2 general legislation of the Code of the Township of Clinton. And we talked about this last time. This would limit or prohibit short-term rentals to head off any situations that we see in terms of things like party houses in, you know, quiet residential neighborhoods. And again, Brian has been a champion of this and Trishka, the author of this. So if there are questions or comments from council, let's go.
I think we talked about on the introduction.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me open the public hearing on that and try to field any questions we may have on the part of the public.
I would just have more of a comment if I could. Oh, Bill Glaser, 35 Pioneer Circle. I think this ordinance was actually recommended by the Board of Adjustment a year or two ago, so I'm glad that council is adopting it, and I encourage its adoption tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Glaser. Anyone else before we close the hearing and call for a motion? All right, well, thank you. Let me close the public hearing. Could I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Did Amy second?
I guess so.
Okay. Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetlick?
Yes.
Council
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes, and thank you. And now we're up to kind of a new item. And I actually have a small addition to the new business. So this is an innovation Vita suggested, and we liked it. So we're beginning to reshape things a little bit, you know, with her good advice. We have a request from Cryan's Tavern for a waiver of a fee to inspect a tent, and I'm not even sure what variation fees, but to avoid fees of about $900 to keep their tent open past a recent deadline that was promulgated by the state to either have the tents inspected to resist snow loads and all that sort of thing, or take them down. Building code person, Mr. Wright, has spoken to all of the restaurants relative to their interest in this. And either all of the tents are either down or they will be down by the deadline that the state published. Cryan's would like to stay open just a little bit longer. They ask for our indulgence to not charge them a fee. And again, Brian, you've had some discussions with Trishka, and I certainly am very much in favor of it. And what say ye about the method by which we can do this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've only we reached out to all the affected restaurants, so I think we've covered ourselves there. And it's such an extenuating circumstance in a trying time. It's really an out of the box kind of even a requirement. Typically, you wouldn't have a tent left up over the winter. So I think we're in good shape, and honestly, I'm willing to take that jump for the sake of our local businesses.
I'm in agreement as well.
All right. Well, why don't I pose a question? All those in agreement with waiving these?
I would do a roll call just because we're online.
That's what I was going to do.
Oh, all right.
All those in favor of waiving these fees, you know, let's call the roll, and Carly, could you do that for me?
We have to have a motion first.
No, all right. Yeah, I never get this right.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Tom's got it.
Okay. Councilman Strauss.
Yeah, sorry, I was a little premature before.
Councilman Kosinowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Council President Malloy.
Yes.
And Mayor Hayden.
Yes. You can't see this, but I'm blushing pretty hard. Okay.
It probably should be noted within the minutes, too, that the code requirements would have to be complied with, even though the fee waived. All the inspections would still be done.
Yes. Thank you, Peter.
Mr. Mayor, did you say you had another new business item? Or?
Yeah, we received a note today from Bob Jones. Bob owns, he and his wife own Winnewald Camp, and I'll read it for you for your consideration. To be completely open, Bob goes to my church. He's been a very generous donor. We've been friends for many years, so I got to say that up front. It reads, the Clinton Sunrise Rotary is considering a Flags for Hero project for the week of November, for a week in November 2021. We were wondering if the town would approve, in this case at least consider, 100 flags to be placed on a visible location on the Marukian property. Your response would be appreciated. And I would think, you know, given that we have no definition of what this looks like, we might agree that we would work with the Rotary, if we choose to go in this direction, to sort of consider a design, work out a design that makes sense and is appropriate, you know, from our perspective as well as theirs. Does that make sense? Anyone?
I agree with you, Mayor.
All right. I mean, let's put it this way. With your permission or agreement, I would spend a little bit of time with Bob and hand him off to our Mr. Sylvia, And so they can begin to think about what would this look like, signage, you know, the location, the size of the flags, all those kinds of things, and then have council really sometime next year look at the display and then approve it in detail as opposed to agreeing to proceed in principle.
Well, okay, we're not making any decisions tonight. We're just going to talk about it in the future.
There you go. We're not rejecting it out of hand.
Oh, okay.
You know, if we can, if it's something that, you know, I think we would agree, say, in principle, we'd like to do it, but if it has to, you know, have some sort of aesthetic value, it ought to fit into the property nicely and, you know, not be garish or anything of that sort. And there'll be a second round on part of council when and if they, you know, really get a design together. And I would anticipate them coming before council to discuss it and then proceed or not. If that's agreeable, I can respond to Bob and make that handoff to Tom sometime before the end of the year.
I'm in agreement.
Okay. All right. I think I sort of sense an affirmative. So let me do that, and I'm sure Tom will keep council and particularly Amy as our open space liaison up to speed on it.
Great. Thank you.
Very good. Mr. Mayor, I have a new item of business as well. It's actually kind of an old item of business because, as a lot of folks on here know, this evening is your last regular meeting, and I would like to offer the following resolution. So I'll move a resolution honoring Mayor John J. Higgins for his hard work and dedication to the Township of Clinton. Whereas, as of December 31st, 2020, Mayor John J. Higgins will have completed his second term as mayor of Clinton Township, having served with both honor and distinction. And whereas, during the past 6 years as mayor, his leadership was instrumental in ensuring that ExxonMobil Research, the township's largest employer and taxpayer, stayed in the township, in leading the township into the protections of the Highlands, creating a reasonable and achievable affordable housing plan, coordinating with regional partners along the Route 78 corridor to promote economic development in the township and region, easing regulatory burdens on homeowners by eliminating onerous code compliance CCO inspections before residential home sales, collaborating with the Annandale Hose Company to bring fire inspections in-house, and acquiring the over 80 acres of the Kalkbelt property for preserved open space. And whereas Mayor Higgins was always willing to tackle the many challenging issues facing the township and all municipalities. And whereas prior to serving as mayor for those two terms, Mayor Higgins successfully served the township on the planning board from January 2007 through December 2014, and as chairman of the planning board from 2010 through 2014, giving up countless hours of his personal time and service to our township. And whereas Mayor Higgins' commitment to our community is evident through his service in his church as a trustee for multiple nonprofit organizations, including the Hunterdon County Park, Norwest Cap, the Clinton Red Mill and Art Museums, and his service on the Clinton Township Board of Education. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, that Mayor John J. Higgins is officially recognized and honored for his dedication and his passion and service to the township over the past 14 years, while working to make our community a better place to live for our families, friends, and future residents. And be it further resolved that we wish John success and the best of health in his future endeavors.
Well, surprised.
And very well deserved, Mayor Higgins.
Thank you, Mark. Found that stuff out. Let me just say, firstly, you know, I didn't think I'd enjoy being mayor. Didn't really particularly want to be, but there was a kind of a hole to fill there. So. But it became enjoyable in fairly short order. And much of it goes with our relationship as council members. And again, I really meant it when I talked about the grant that we got, the financing that we achieved for our next project. You know, without council behind us, and truly, Kevin, Brian, myself, you know, we spend lots and lots of time with attorneys and developers, but without council having the faith that we could pull this off without damaging the township, it could not have been done. So my entreaty to the council in general is to please continue to work together with comedy, with a T, not a D, and just keep in mind what you're doing is for the betterment of the township. Compromise is the way to get stuff done. Treating each other with respect is absolutely the way to get it done. So, you know, as the composition of the council changes, I would just ask, you know, keep that in mind. And I especially need to thank Brian, for filling in when I couldn't. So.
Oh, it was my pleasure. We've made a great team, and you've been a great mentor. So.
Well, who says Republicans can't have a smooth transition, huh? So anyway, thank you. I owe you a great deal, Brian. And however I can help in the background, not holding on, if anything, but just in the background, help them out. You know, you've always got my time and my meager talents.
Well, you'll be sure to be banished to the planning board.
Not a bad
John. John, I just want to say thanks for bringing me along as the rookie when I first started. And now that you're no longer the mayor, I hope you're still going to help me fix my small engines and cars.
Well, you never told me. Is that log splitter running okay?
It is. All the right, neighbor well, has right. it now, so it's getting a lot of dividends.
Okay, excellent. I have two trees to come down in the spring, so I'm going to be after you.
We'll be there. Thanks.
Tom, it was my pleasure getting to know you and your family and the kids. So, you know, it's just great stuff. We have a really good, really good town that we should be grateful. I mean, it's most of the town is unknowing about the talents and the time and the effort and the sort of things council has done over the years. We don't blow our horn an awful lot, but truly it has been a pleasure. So I'll just stop talking. So.
Well, John, of course I have something to say. I really enjoyed working with you. You, I feel hot-headed, calm me down on so many occasions. Well, all of you have done that, but you especially, John. And I also consider you a friend. I had a situation years ago where I had a person in the hospital, and it was a snowstorm, and I was stuck in that hospital, and I needed to get home to my kids. And you, in the snow, came all the way down to the hospital and brought me home and had food for me. And your wife gave me food, and it really meant a lot to me. So you're a good person, and you've done a great job. And I'll miss you as mayor, but, of course, you won't get away with, you know, not seeing me anymore or hearing from me because I will be calling and texting you.
Amy, I good Lord, I how many times have you been mad at me and all that sort of stuff, you know?
But that, everybody get mad at everybody, though. You're not special with that.
I have to tell you, when I think it was college, we took this Minnesota multiphasic aptitude test, and it came out where I was suited to be a forest ranger or a priest. So when you call, I would kind of put my collar on, and it would work. So, yeah, you know my numbers, so keep calling. I always enjoy our encounters, and you've done an amazing job. You know, really an amazing job on public access for our open space lands, enabled by that bond, not bond issue, the public question that we was approved by the public to allow us to spend more on development. So, you know, it'll be a joy to see the playground, the trails on Windy Acres, the Environmental Education Center, you know, the stuff that we couldn't do without those funds and the stuff that we couldn't do without you. So just keep it up. And again, if I can help, I got a chainsaw and stuff like that. So let me know.
Thank you, John.
Okay. All right, folks. You shouldn't continue this. We should get into public comment.
I'll read the notice. A brand new one, so this is a little bit different than what appears on the agenda. It will probably start appearing on the agenda in January. All meeting participants will be required to keep their microphones muted until recognized or directed otherwise. If necessary, the presiding officer or meeting host will engage the WebEx mute function until the time for public comment is reached. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker and must pertain either to an item on the meeting's agenda or to a governmental issue that the commenter believes may be of concern to the township's residents. Members of the public who are viewing the meetings live using an electronic device will have the ability to raise a hand and contribute with voice and video during the public portions of the meeting. Anyone attending by phone will be unmuted prior to conclusion of the public comment period and given an opportunity to speak. So we'll start with the folks online. If you're interested in speaking, raise your hand, and we'll pick on you first. Oh, you can. All right, we can visually see you raise your hand. Ms. Nolan, you can go first.
Thank you. I don't know if 3 minutes is going to be enough, but we'll try. So first off, I just want to, you know, hope everyone is doing all right with this crazy year, COVID and all. I do notice that we have some former mayors on. It's been 20 years since I started this battle in 2001 with the Blossom Hill intersection. I see Mayor Sumay there. I actually went to Trenton with him, Ms. Mayor Corcadillas, now, you know, Mayor Higgins, and now Mayor-elect Foy. So, listen, we've been patient. I've been patient. My neighborhood has been patient. You know, we go to town council meetings to ask for a resolution. We know it's tricky because it's the DOT. And here's my situation right now. I basically came to meetings and pleaded with you to allow somebody from our neighborhood to be a liaison and meet with the people to tell them exactly how this intersection works, because someone coming from the DOT from Trenton is not going to know how many residents live in this area or how it works. And I kind of was just kind of brushed off, like, we got it, don't worry about it. And when I asked about details, you told me it was going to be a one-way intersection with a queuing lane. And I had concerns about how that was going to work with the median and how you were going to deter people from going through the median. And you reassured me that it was going to be fine and you would keep me posted. This has been 18 years. My neighbor, Carl and Jana Romano, who have since moved, it was their sister-in-law who was killed at that intersection in 2001. And I couldn't wait to call them in Maine and tell them that the construction was over. And now I'm embarrassed. Yesterday, the intersection opened. My phone has been blowing up with texts from my neighbor saying that this is ridiculous. This is worse. There are cars going through the intersection. I just got a text from someone that said there was a Hyonas truck that went left right through the intersection, which is a whole nother issue with Hyonas. Just got another text that said there were three cars in the median. So here, and I know I only have 3 minutes, but here are the main issues. And I have this ginormous paper. This is how many issues there are. The turn lane that they put in, the queuing lane for us to come home into our neighborhood, is so far before the intersection, you have to stop, and then your headlights are now shining directly into Route 22 West, people coming this way. Once you get a clearing, you still have to inch all the way up and then make a hard left. So that's one issue. The other issue is you're doing that while cars are illegally cutting across. So my concern was that when I was told it was going to be a one-way, like, why couldn't there have been a median? Like, when I was watching the construction, I was like, okay, please hope that they do something with the median. They can't leave that median like that. They could have made a queuing lane or a cement lane that would alleviate everybody from going across. That wasn't an issue. The other issue that we have, and I'm sorry, Mayor Higgins, no disrespect to you because you know how I feel about this. I've been asking for a traffic signal at this intersection for 18 years. All of a sudden, maybe 10 years ago, the light popped up at the Merck intersection. That light is a disaster. It has caused accidents. It has made our intersection worse. And now it's absolutely useless since Merck is not there anymore. So for people in my neighborhood, when they want to go west on Route 22, or east, I'm sorry, we go sit at that intersection. We turn right onto 22 West, and then we sit in that little turnaround for 5 minutes at the light. And that was another concern that I had, that you said you guys were going to fix that light. Then the light turns, and it only stays green for 4 seconds. So while you're sitting in that light, it turns so fast that you now have to wait another 10 minutes. That is why nobody is going to adhere to the median situation, because they're not going to sit there. That has to be taken down, moved, put green blinking. And I'm so sorry, because this, I know this is your last night, and I hate to send you off like this, but I have been patient for so long. And
Let me make a couple of comments first off. That light is 15 years old. When I was at Merck, my budget funded that light, and those buildings were fully occupied. There was a reason for putting it there then. At that point in time, certainly folks at Merck were not knowledgeable of the situation of Blossom Hill. So that's the first of all, it goes back a long ways. Second of all, it's 15 years. There was never going to be a traffic light at the Blossom Hill intersection. The state said no. So we had a choice. And you know this as well as I do. You put in something that is better rather than perfect. The light simply was not going to happen in our lifetime. That sort of construction comes out of a totally different budget. I'm not done yet, so let me finish. The design is deficient. Several things come to mind. We don't know that it's finished yet. It was unveiled yesterday. I had the same kind of complaints, not to be nasty. I had the same kind of complaints when the affordable housing project on Beaver Avenue was almost done, but not quite. I could see it complete. The rest of the folks couldn't. As it happens, it was completed. All the little stuff got done, and everything was fine. So, first of all, those turns have not been striped yet. Second of all, I am most disappointed that there is not a raised, a raised triangle, mountable curb at the Blossom Hill intersection to force a right-hand turn. That's a deficiency. So, as Brian mentioned, the police put some cones out and will start to enforce the right-hand turn only sign at both of those intersections, north and south, coming onto the highway, and start writing tickets so people understand serious. Thirdly, we will absolutely look at retiming that traffic light at the Merck intersection. That's something that can be done like that. It's just a setting. It is coordinated with all the lights going up the hill all the way to Petticoat. But I think, we just need to get on the horn and get after that. So it's partly done. It's certainly not functional. I am very disappointed that they're, and for all I know, since they never shared a detailed design with us, I'm very disappointed that there is not some construct to force a right-hand turn at Blossom Hill. And it may be that we do what we have to do with some small barricades or something of that sort to make it so. So that's what I have to say about where we are right now as far as I understand
it. And Ms. Nolan, your report jives with what I heard this evening from the police department, in that they felt compelled to put cones out and that it was chaotic. So certainly we'll be compiling all this data and taking it back to the state. And
can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why did they put a turn lane in from 22 West going onto the other street of Blossom Hill into Lebanon Borough? I never knew that was even on the table. Nobody ever makes that turn because you can get to Lebanon from Storps and vice versa. So had that not even been on the table, you could have seriously just shut that whole medium down and made it one way.
Where does Petowitz make a turn when they come down Route 22 to go into their driveway? There.
Why? Why don't they just make the turn at Storrs? It's an easier turn.
Maybe because they don't. But people make a turn there. This is a conventional. This is a very conventional construct with queuing lanes to allow symmetrically opposite turns.
Queuing lanes like that are for when you have a traffic signal. I've never seen an intersection like ours that is as dangerous as ours with queuing lanes like that without a traffic signal. That's ridiculous. And on top of this, John, I'm sorry, but on top of this, when I come down into my queuing lanes, my headlights are now bearing down on the Route 22 West motorist at night. This is a disaster.
Deb, as they are in any queuing lane, it's the same way at Petticoat. It's the same way at any of those cuts on Route 22.
They all have lights.
Between Reddington and Merck.
They all have lights.
No, the one between Reddington and Merck does not. Take a look. There's a cul-de-sac office complex that'll shortly be a housing complex.
Where is that?
It's halfway between the, Cushatunk Lake traffic light built by Merck and the center of Reddington. It's on the north side of the highway. Take a look.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that intersection is not nearly as bad as ours.
You said there weren't any of these constructs.
Well,
We get people out. The principal use of this is to get people out of the left lane so that they don't get smacked by somebody coming along
make
a left turn.
That was helpful. Those were helpful. Absolutely.
So this thing has to be perfected. Give it a little bit of time.
So can you close it down until it's perfected? Because right now at 5 o'clock, it's a death trap.
We're not making any commitments at this meeting. We're going to talk to the police tomorrow and see if there's something we can do to make it better immediately.
John, can I ask you one question? When the Merck light went up, you said that you weren't aware of the situation at the Blossom Hill intersection.
Nobody did make us aware of it.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure that fatality in 2001 was with the state troopers when we started this process.
Let's put it this way. I started that traffic light in about 2003 or 4, and it took many years to get it done. And we paid for it, $750,000 out of our pocket. So it took forever. And we got a flat no from the good folks in the state in terms of the traffic light. Not going to happen.
Well, that was fair.
If it ever does, the current construct can be used with a little bit of additional work.
Can I ask you another question? If that traffic signal is removed at Merck, would then a traffic signal be viable at our intersection? Because what is that used for right now, honestly?
Look, budget for building a traffic light comes out of a budget that maybe would see money in 10 years. So
what's the traffic light used for right now?
I don't know.
And can't go
look, the traffic light, look, we're not going to fix it tonight, okay? It's currently deficient, less than 20 hours after it was open.
Yeah.
So we are going to go at it and make it better.
I've been patient, and all I asked for was someone to reach out to us and be a liaison. You know, Mayor Sinead allowed me to go down to Trenton and speak on behalf of our neighborhood, and all I wanted was a little bit of the same respect that somebody would have asked us, because I would have told you, I have teenagers in this neighborhood who are saying exactly what would have been better than that.
Well, it is what it is at the moment, and we will make it better with a little bit of time.
Were you aware of how it was going to be this fight? Were you aware as a township of what this was going to look like, and did someone sign off on that?
We were never presented with a detailed plan. We knew generally what it was, which was two queuing lanes, and we were assured that measures would be taken to avoid cross traffic, which is the issue.
Right.
And the real issue is people illegally going past a right-hand turn only sign, enabled by what I would call a lousy design on the part of DOT. So we will fix that one way or the other.
Okay.
But there won't be a traffic light certainly not in my lifetime.
You know what? I don't even care about the traffic light. If you could fix the median and maybe put some cement barriers that would just allow people to not go across it, then I would be happy. And fix that turnaround so that we can have
yeah. conversations. All right. I think we need to move on to some other speakers.
Yes.
Yeah. Ms. Huck?
Hi. This is Denise Huckey. I also work at Merck, so I think that we're actually talking about the different light. We're talking about the one at Labella. That's the one that we have to use to kind of turn around. I just wanted to add to Deb's comments because I have new drivers as well in my household, and I just want to, you know, emphasize that that stop sign is absolutely in the wrong spot. So if it was actually opened, I personally would like to see it closed down as well, and I want to put that on record that you're saying that it was not done and that there's lanes not, you know, finished or there's not any paint that's down. If that's the case, it should never have been. So to just go on record, I'm in the neighborhood as well. It is very dangerous, and there's people just going all which way. And I have a 17-year-old in my house that's a brand-new driver, and everyone is just very worried and concerned. So I'd really appreciate it if we could take action to either put a police officer there all the time or shut it down.
Anybody else?
Any other comments from the public who can see? Oh, Mr. Semay.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
So I was going to say that my taxes are too high. They are, but I'll save that for another. Deb, I hear you. It was interesting. I remember going down to Trenton and trying to talk to those folks at the DOT. And I think we were trying to make an impression on them. My suggestion, and I'm out of this for a while, but perhaps the mayor and council can lean on our state reps to help us out. This is a state problem, and sometimes Clinton Township doesn't get heard. And I know that the good representatives like Eric Peterson and Michael Doherty, and they should be able to help us mightily get some attention at Trenton, because I think that's their job. Hey, a couple of things quickly. First of all, I wanted to say thanks to the DPW this year, at least in my southwest part of the township. The leaf collection went better than many years. I hope it's as going as well around the rest of the town, but they did a great job. And so in the area that I kind of live and run, thank you. I just wanted to thank you all for everything you do. I don't come onto these calls much. I enjoy my retirement. Having sat in your seats, most of those seats, I know how hard it is, and I do appreciate everything you all do. John, on your last night or this last meeting, you know, I would like to say a special thanks. I know you have done a great job with the affordable housing in particular, but also the items that Council President Brian mentioned. I think you've got us all on a good path forward, and I appreciate that. And finally, I wish Brian, you well next year, as well as the rest of the council. And I know how difficult it is, but I'm thankful you're helping all of us have a better place to live. That's it.
Thank you, Kevin. Anybody else?
Whom I can see. Any others on video who want to raise their hands and speak? Mr. Burke, did you want to say anything? Or
yes, I'm here this evening speaking on behalf of the Clinton Township Community Garden. I think Nancy Slota made a presentation to the council a couple months back about separating from the township and becoming a nonprofit. We've worked with a pro bono lawyer to draw up some preliminary paperwork, and we'd like to see if we could present it to the council for their review to see if we, if things are in order to see if we can take this to the next level, to the next step.
Yeah, I mean, my recommendation would be, and I believe Ms. Slota was supposed to be in touch with Councilman Kochanowski as well. I my recommendation would be to have it sent to not only to him, but to Mr. Sylvia and copy our new administrator, Ms. Mekovitz, and we'll see. We'll take a look at it. We'll see if it's in order and what we
might. Well, I think what we're proposing here, this is really the application to become a nonprofit. And, so really what has to – I'm not really sure of the process, but
– John, if I could interject, I mean, I've been out of the pocket for a while, last couple of weeks, and Mr. Burkham, apologize for not returning your call. But they're doing everything right. I don't see there being any problem with this. We just need to submit it, and then Tom Sylvia would go forward with what he needs to do.
Tom, do you guys want to look at what we have drawn up at this point, or?
Yeah, I mean, you can email that to me, and I'll get it to the right people.
Okay. Then I think at some point what we have to be able to do is we have to develop some type of long-term lease with the township and correct. And this nonprofit. That would be something that we would have to accomplish.
Right.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate everybody's help, and I don't have exposure to these meetings very often, but my limited exposure, I want to first of all thank Mayor Higgins and Council for the work that you guys put in and the dedication. It's nobody knows that what goes on. So anyway, we appreciate everybody's support, and we're doing some nice things over at the community garden too. So any support we can get growing that forum, we appreciate it.
Jeff, thanks for the nice words. It's and they do great work there. It's just been a rough time for me lately, but thanks for your help.
Okay, no problem, guys. And have a good. Hopefully, we have a good year, better year next year. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. All right, young man, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, your name. My name is Brian Huggy. And I live across town with my dad half the time of the week and year. And whenever I came over here watching it get built, me and my friend as well, he has his own landscaping company. He does all of his landscape work here. He drives his truck and trailer around here. And the whole time, I would be talking to him almost every night about the construction. We were confused the whole time. And we came over here today like 2-3 times. And we were both confused on how it even works. And our concern on both our safety and others' safety about how far back that stop sign is and how you have to stop an inch forward and then go. And plus with new drivers, some will be hesitant about doing it. And for me, at least, I drive a manual car, and if I stall at a bad time, I'm going to get into a wreck, and it's not going to be pretty. For me and for others. So I'm asking for this, at least the stop sign to be moved forward and more control of not crossing over from Blossom Hill over to the opposite side of 22, and the stop sign to be more forward so I can at least be able to have time to go across without having to worry and not have so much of a gap time of being in 22 and being in the intersection or on Blossom Hill.
All right. Well, thank you much. We'll compile all of these comments. I know I have most of them in writing already as it is, and I know I intend to drive that intersection in probably tomorrow. I wasn't able to do so today and make my own, I don't want to say assessment, but observations about it. And I know we will in the next day or so have a police report on the issues that they see. So that'll be helpful for us as well as we go to the DOT to ask for improvements and corrections in a lot of ways, because I'm with a lot of folks. I expected that the ability to cut across would be physically, if not impossible, difficult. And folks not used to a new traffic pattern or not willing to put up with it can easily skirt it, it seems, based on the photos. So we'll definitely try to address it as quickly as we can.
One other quick thing.
Skirt it. Yeah.
One other quick thing. It's pitch dark there at night. Like, you can't see. There maybe more reflectors on the ground. I don't know. But it's just like at night, you can't even find the turn lane.
As they say, I don't think they've finished striping and painting. They may well have reflectors in mind to as dive lanes for turns. So let us find out what this is finally going to look like and let them know. I'm sitting here saying to myself, I'm really, really irritated at Petowitz.
Yeah.
I don't really much care if it's legal. We ought to put a one-way do not enter on the south, that one block stretch of Blossom Hill, so Petowitz gets it right in the face that they can't enter that road.
I thought that was always the case, John. I really remember you fighting that for a long time.
They put it, it's a little more complicated to get all the approvals to put that sign up, but at this point in time, we'll just invoke whatever authority I have and do it. They did put up on the Petowitz property a sign saying right-hand turn only as they exit the driveway. Do truck drivers pay any attention? No. So if we put up a sign, do not enter on that section of street, then we start making tickets.
And I'd like to see if that section of the street going to 22 has a right turn only sign, and we should.
Yeah.
We should definitely enforce that. So.
Right. I mean, there's some quick things we can do to mitigate things, and I think there are some, there's unfinished work there.
And I'm sorry, Ms. Hockey, you're
factory, but it's going to be better.
Ms. Hockey, you were breaking up a bit when you were trying to speak.
I was just saying really about that middle. I know we are really much emphasizing about
that.
So if nothing else, it needs to be just shut down until somebody figures this out, because I don't want my son going there having another conversation about another death.
Yep.
Right.
Suspicion, that's where the put the comes out.
One is act as construction was underway. Stop at the sign, make a right-hand turn.
As for the police placed the cones this evening, I haven't, like I said, I haven't been over yet to see it. So.
It's just so dead.
Yeah, we have to do what we have to do to keep the people from going straight across. And like I said, I don't care about the fine points right now.
If they could just create a little bit more of the median, like cement, if that curbing went through like this and like that, there's the answer. It's not rocket science.
Well, we need to just see if anybody else has a comment they'd like to make. This is going to be the free-for-all section of the public meeting. Anybody that I missed, please speak now if you have anything you'd like to bring to our attention.
Yeah.
Everybody should be able to unmute. So, if there's anybody, now's the time. All right.
We will get on it and we will communicate.
Thank you.
Okay. In that case, who makes the this final motion of the night?
I think you should. It's your last meeting.
Agreed.
Paraphrase the late president. May I have a motion to adjourn? Higgins out.
So moved. I'll second that motion.
Okay. All those in favor? All right. Have a good night, everybody. Sorry for my Irish. I can't help it sometimes. And we will get on it. So we can do short term and longer term. It's a torture.
Mayor Mark Strauss here. Can I grab you for a phone call in a little while?
Sure. I'm sitting downstairs by my phone. Give me a buzz.